time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse.
Well, thank you for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese. My name is Jack Socha, host of this show from the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Bishop Callahan, our bishop, will be joining us in just a little while for a somewhat abbreviated session. As things happen, there was a dear friend who lost his mother recently, and the bishop had to rush off to catch a plane to go to the funeral. And so we talked to him for a while on some Lenten topics, but otherwise we're going to be doing some other things this hour. Speaking of hours, last Sunday specifically, for folks listening in the Diocese of La Crosse, when they tuned into the show, they got an hour of silence. It's better known as dead air in the radio business. It had to do with something with the time change and some computer stuff they just couldn't get the kinks out of, and it happened to fall on the hour that the show was running. Now, I did get some notes from some people saying that hour of quiet and meditation was among one of the nicest shows you've ever done, Jack. Just kidding. We were thinking, actually, had we known ahead of time, we could have joked like that up there at the beginning, saying, the following show is designed for meditation and prayer for 1 hour during Lent. But no, we did not do that. This did, however, remind me of an incident from the early 70s. You may recall, towards the end of their wildest days, the Beatles came out with something called the White Album. And at that time, they were so famous, they could do almost anything and press it into vinyl, and it would do very well. Well, they wanted to get review copies of the LP. This is long before CDs or DVDs. They wanted to get a copy of it out to reviewers as quickly as possible. So instead of waiting till the whole thing was produced, they pressed the vinyl onto a couple of blank discs and only had it on one side. The other side had grooves, but nothing on them. The production version, of course, would have it stamped into both sides. So they rushed these out to the reviewers. And one reviewer in Los Angeles was, as they say in the later story about this, was caught with his avant-garde down. He listened to the first side, and then he flipped over the second side of the LP. And instead of being side two, of course, it was just blank grooves that did nothing but make kind of rhythmic noises. And he reviewed them. Yes, there was an intriguing number of rhythmic sounds that went on for approximately 60 minutes. And obviously, it was one of the more creative phases of the Beatles. Well, anyway, that was one of those things where you got to sometimes stop and take a look at what you're doing before you open your mouth.
Won't you come out to play?
So I just thought I would explain that that was simply a technical glitch causing dead air for 1 hour. It won't happen again until the time goes back or until they fix the glitch, but it was not intentional. And for those of you who didn't get to hear the show, you're welcome to go to diolc.org/connecting, and you can hear it as an MP3 audio file. It has been another, well, troubling week, a distressing week. All the things going on in Ukraine, again, because we record this show early compared to when you actually hear it, we can't say anything definitive about what's going on because things can change radically in a matter of a couple of days. However, I was sincerely touched and struck by the bravery of that young woman who was working for a national Russian television network that was broadcasting news live in real time. She'd worked there for several years. Turns out that her mother was Ukrainian, her father was Russian, and basically the news as to what is going on in Ukraine is being filtered. The people in Russia are getting, you know, totally bizarre stories that have nothing to do with reality. As a matter of fact, if you even as a broadcaster or journalist refer to what's going on in Ukraine as an attack or war, you are subject to a 15-year prison sentence for simply saying that. Keeping that in mind, this woman interrupted the live broadcast. There was the newscast person there, you know, doing their stories, and she stepped behind them with a large handmade cardboard sign that said in Ukrainian and also in English, "Stop the war," etc., etc. And also, she did put out a pre-recorded video that was released at the same time. This is almost, to me, unbelievable. It is pretty darn close to what was happening years ago at the Tiananmen Square massacre in China, where that one guy stood in front of a Chinese tank to keep it from moving on. You know, in this country, we are so used to freedom and so used to consequences that unless you do something terribly, terribly egregious, are sometimes pretty light. I mean, obviously, if you blow up a building or murder somebody or rob a bank or whatever, the justice wheels will get to you. But for people who have, for whatever reason, they feel they have to act out at a school council meeting, or they interrupt a city council meeting, or they storm the Capitol, which is, of course, much more serious. Generally speaking, comparatively speaking, the punishment they get in many cases just, you know, do not necessarily even compare to what this woman may end up suffering in Russia under Putin. Already, she has appeared in a Moscow court and got a hefty fine. That was just for the video statement. That was against the law, and they convicted her, and she owes a lot of money. That was for making a pre-recorded statement saying you opposed the war in Ukraine. They haven't yet gotten to her on what she did live on the air. My concern, of course, is that with the fast-moving torrent of news coming from that part of the world, the story will finally just kind of go away, and we won't do one of those deals where someday we're going to say, whatever happened to that lady who did this? Which is really, really too bad. Her career is shot. I don't know what she's going to do. She may spend a lot of years in jail. I have no idea. Keep her in your prayers. And keep the people in Russia who are really against this war but are terrified to speak up against it in your prayers. Please pray that something happens that will safely bring this horrible thing to the most painless end we can do. It's bad enough the way it is. We don't need any more pain involved. And as long as we're on the topic of things that have not exactly been on the top of the news list, but you probably should know about, a new phrase maybe you want to pay attention to, Deltacron. That's right, Deltacron. Deltacron is the new variant of the coronavirus. It is already in China. They're already scrambling to do lockdowns in certain areas. Hong Kong also is suffering a great deal. Deltacron, as the name implies, is a mixture, a combination of the Delta variant and the Omicron variant that have basically combined. The good news is it's not putting people in the hospital. It doesn't mean it's not serious. It could mean that you could be out of work for weeks. There are these, you know, long COVID things. It is also, unfortunately, at least as contagious, if not more so, than the original Omicron, with some of the effects of the Delta variant. Oh boy, lucky, lucky us. You're saying, oh, it's in China. No, 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 no. Already there are cases, a few, in, guess where? California. So it's heading our way. Do not throw out your masks. Do not throw out your hand sanitizer. You can go to the CDC website or just Google COVID infections in my county, and it will take you to a map of your county to show you what has been going on in the past week or so. There has been this, you know, this green, which means, hey, things are really doing good. This yellow, which means if you have any problems, maybe you're immunocompromised, you should really check with your doctor to see how much you should be taking care. And of course, then there's the red, which is, hey, wear a mask, stay out of crowds. It's really bad. Fortunately, in the past several weeks, it's been dropping down. But now, with this happening, you really should be paying more attention to this over the next several weeks as this new variant comes in. And keep in mind also that there is this lack of, what's the word they use? Granularity. They can focus down to the average number of cases per 100,000 in your county, but they really can't focus down as closely to how many in your town, or how many are happening in the restaurant or the store you go to. That really depends a great deal on how many people in your close area, in your town, have been vaccinated. They're saying that this Deltacron could be particularly difficult for older people, and really, really difficult for older people who have been not vaccinated, or even have been vaccinated but not boosted. They're not saying it's great for everybody else, but they're just warning people who may be immunocompromised because of age. And also, if you got your booster shot more than, I think, 5 months ago. So pay attention This is not something that's just gone away. It isn't over, unfortunately. But pay attention to the things that are going on in your county. And if you can get any local information, please do so. It kind of comes and goes. I just had my wellness check and talked to my doctor. And by the way, I'm doing fine. But he says, yeah, it's coming in waves. One week, they're busier than they can be. The next week, it calms down. The next week, they're busy again. So there's no particular thing where you can point to one spot in time and say, see, it's taken care of. Isn't working that way. And again, I'm giving you kind of an early warning on this. I'm kind of a news junkie, and I keep track of what's happening so I can pass things on to you a little bit ahead of time so you can take precautions. On a much, much, much lighter note, how are your Lenten tests doing? How are the things you've given up for Lent working out for you? You know, it occurred to me, if you haven't given up something for Lent because you didn't get around to it, there's no rule that says you have to get it the first day of Lent and you can't do it the rest of Lent. So if you haven't done it, yeah, think about giving something up. It's a good test of your willpower in some cases, or just a good spiritual exercise. Some things my wife and I have given up in the past years have actually stuck with us. We eat much, much fewer bits of meat. We are much more plant-based, and that is a direct result of having given it up for some time. But the thing I did this year, and I know you're going to laugh now, I gave up for the 40 days watching movies. Now, this may sound like, well, big deal, Jack. You have no idea. I grew up with movies. There was a movie theater when I was a kid. I mean, like fourth grade, fifth grade. There was a movie theater about 500 feet away from where I lived. And every Saturday morning, I would be handed, 50 cents or whatever it cost back then, to go to the matinee, probably get out of my mother's hair for a good portion of the morning, where you'd watch the double feature and all the science fiction movies that you could probably stand. You know, Godzilla, War of the Worlds, all these incredible classic movies. I got to see them for the first time. Watched movies all the time. Moved to a smaller town after fifth grade. They had a great movie theater in that town, too. When in the Army, oh my goodness, guess what? Movies were a quarter. You know, what can I tell you? And I used to work shifts, and so it was very difficult to do anything on the days when you were working 4 to midnight, or heaven forbid, midnight to 8 in the morning. So I spent a lot of time for an hour or two just going to a movie, just to relax. Well, I'm hung up on movies. When VHS tapes came out, I was in heaven. I could get my own movies and watch them anytime I wanted to. And then, can it be true? DVDs! Oh my goodness, I can buy DVDs! And of course now, between Amazon and Netflix and all the other guys, I can push a button and be like a kid in a candy store and just watch as many movies as I want. Well, the downside of that is there's really a lot of movies that aren't very good. Yeah, everybody's got their own taste on movies, and I'm not saying that my taste is spectacular, but even in the realm of the kind of silly movies I like to watch, which would be kind of science fiction movies and things like that, there's a lot of really bad ones, just poor quality, knocked out really quick movies. And I found I was just watching movie after movie during this pandemic because, you don't get out, I'm staying home, I'm watching movies and I'm watching movies. So for Lent, I decided I would really do a test of my own will and give it up. And so far, I've survived. I am actually, I cannot believe this, reading books. How can this be? What's wrong with you, Jack? I'm reading books, occasionally listening to an audiobook. Isn't that weird? And I'm actually getting other stuff done that I've been putting off because I'm not taking an hour and a half or 2 hours to watch a movie that the minute I finish watching it, I've forgotten what it was about. So if you never gave up anything for Lent, it's not too late to try. Just as an experiment to see whether you like it, pick something that maybe you're very used to and just say, I'm going to try this. Or as we've talked about with the bishop, if you can't think of something to jettison for Lent, try to find something new to start for Lent. Maybe it's reading the Bible. Maybe it's reading a good book on Catholicism, something like that. Maybe it's just reading something uplifting, and that's probably a really good idea in this day and age. So give that a try. It's not too late. You can still give up something for Lent, even if you got a later start. This is Connecting the Diocese. We shall be right back after this. Now, Jack Socia here again with you as we get ready to talk to Bishop William P. Callahan, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse. I was on Highway 94, the interstate, and I noticed one thing going on, that the 18-wheelers that were getting onto the highway from an on-ramp were doing so more slowly. And at first I was kind of wondering what was going on. Then I was reminded of the fact that the gas prices, and I'm assuming diesel prices, have gone through the roof. And one of the things that you can do is more slowly accelerate. Yeah, don't do a so-called jackrabbit start. Now, it's kind of difficult with an 18-wheeler to do a jackrabbit start, but I'm sure there are ways that they can more slowly get to highway speed safely and save some mileage. And with the cost of gas being tremendous and the fact that 18-wheelers are not exactly, you know, sipping fuel, it's a good idea. The other thing that a lot of people have forgotten to do is to check the pressure on their tires. If your tires are underinflated, there's more surface area of the tire hitting the ground and more resistance, and that will actually basically cost you some mileage every time you use your car. So if you go over to a Quick Trip, they've got some very good pumps there that could actually measure your tires. Or if you go buy one of those little pencil-shaped tire gauges, you can check your tires and see whether they're properly inflated. And this way, by doing that and not using jackrabbit starts, you might be surprised how much more mileage you get out of your gasoline. And also, of course, planning your trips. Instead of making three separate trips to do three separate things, try to do them all at one time. The other thing is you may want to start thinking more seriously about shopping locally. Yes, maybe the local store has a bit higher price for an item, but when you start factoring in the amount of money it costs to drive, say, 40 miles round trip or whatever to get to a store that has a little cheaper price, it may not really be a big savings. So think smart, try to save a little bit of money on your gas, and it'll be just better for everybody concerned. Okay, let's get on with the show, courtesy of Relevant Radio. We thank them so much. Before we start with the actual interview with the bishop, I have to add this little preface, a little behind-the-scenes thing. We are using this new system where the bishop is on one computer, where he is, I'm on my computer, where we are. It's a little bit like Zoom, only higher quality audio. But we also do have the ability to see each other. And what we've discovered is that just to make sure that the so-called bandwidth isn't being stressed, either at his end or my end, we turn off the pictures of each other. And also, because we both have been involved in radio communication type work, we can just concentrate on what is being said. But, well, this is how the way I kind of explained it to the bishop before we began the show. Yeah, I think it just makes it a little, then we can concentrate on the talk and not looking at each other. It's more like radio, you know.
That's quite all right.
Well, as promised, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse, Bishop William P. Callahan, has joined us again during the Lenten season. Bishop, welcome back.
Hello, Jack. How are you? Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast today. And thank you for tuning us in. And thank you. We are coming on to almost the midpoint of Lent. So be prepared.
It is coming so quickly. Most of the snow, except in certain places where it's impacted, dead down, you know, put by plows and things like that, is melted away.
Yes.
For folks listening on Sunday, yeah, it is the first day of spring. I have seen two robins in my front yard, so this is looking good.
We are very happy about that.
How are you hanging in there with all the activities of Lent, and how are your fellow priests doing? They're moving right along?
I can't even begin to tell you. My plate is substantially full, brimming over and falling on the table, believe you me. There's just so much going on, and I am trying to get down to St. Louis because my dear friend, Cardinal Dolan, and our friend here in the diocese, Bob Dolan, their mother has died, and I'm trying to get down there for her funeral.
Uh-huh.
And this has not been an easy thing because while St. Louis may be the center of the country, but it's difficult when they have no cars for rent, really zero. I mean, I called all the car rental places and everything else. So no car rents, and it was tough trying to find a hotel that was going to be close enough to the church. And My goodness. It's quite a labor of love.
Yeah, I suppose with both with spring break and with certain flights being canceled, that they're trying to compact them to save on fuel and all this stuff.
And I suspect with the parts shortage, you know, the chips and this and that are just not even getting into the new cars, as the rental cars break down, they've got a hard time fixing them.
You know, I didn't think about that. Jack, I didn't think about spring break and all that sort of thing. Yes, we're in the middle of it all, aren't we?
Yeah, yes. I can imagine, you know, 4 or 5 college kids, as opposed to trying to get onto a plane, just rent a car and split the gas and then, you know, take turns driving to wherever they're going, unless, of course, it's to Cancun, which is probably not possible. But, yeah, you know, I was amazed a couple of years ago before the pandemic that younger relatives of mine through the in-law side of the family, their final year of college, they took spring break. They went to Vietnam.
Oh, my.
It was as inexpensive to fly there as it was to Cancun.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they've got people they know there, and so they got to see, tour and do things. But it's almost inconceivable to me. I've never even been to Cancun for any of that stuff. You know, working part-time in college. But
can you even imagine, though, in our day, going to Vietnam for a vacation?
Yeah, I know. It's strange. It's strange.
Wow.
It would be very strange for me to go now because of my age, they would assume that I had been there when I was younger, you know, in a combat role, and I haven't been.
Yes.
But yeah, it is just, it's almost inconceivable. The physical getting there, you know. but it's a strange, interesting world. And now that we've got all these Zoom things going on, there's people who know each other just all over the globe now, and they can basically get there if it wasn't for the pandemic stopping people and things like that. But the one place you do not want to go on spring break right now is Hong Kong. They are having real trouble over there. We're doing pretty good here.
I'm really happy. But you know, what a terrible thing, though. I mean, everywhere we look, there's trouble. Miserable, terrible trouble. Poor people are being killed, annihilated, dismembered, whatever they may be. People, mothers giving birth are being killed. Oh, you know, it's just horrible.
It is a real tough time to contemplate the goodness of the world. And of course, obviously, regardless of what's happening on our human plane, the goodness of God, it's just... it's a tough time. And, you know, there was that book that came out, and I have never read it, but when bad things happen to good people, and it tries to explain that. Boy, the course of history is littered with many, many problems. I played a little tiny portion a few weeks ago of there was a recording of the broadcast when Germany surrendered World War II. And it was the most listened to broadcast in American radio history. And the actors, it was written by a guy named Norman Corwin, who's referred to as the poet laureate of radio. Beautifully done.
But
he had different religious figures responding to the fact that Germany had been defeated. And they had a Catholic priest, they had a evangelical. And then when they got to the rabbi, the rabbi reflected. He said, "No tyrant has ever lasted." And he listed them off. You know, he was talking about all these different tyrants of history, including, of course, Hitler at the time. He says they've all gone, and that they have to understand that only people who are free can keep going. And I think that's probably what we're going to be seeing.
And who leave a memory, a memory worth pursuing.
Right.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. There was that old poem we heard in high school, Ozymandias, about the guy.
Oh, yes.
He's out there in the desert, and there's this cool looking bust of Ozymandias, this great thing. And it says, "Look upon me in fear. All that you see is under my control." And of course, all around the guy was nothing but sand.
Right.
You know, we can hope for that, and we can hope for it pretty quick.
I remember that because in one of my oral interpretation classes for the communications degree, I remember one of the guys getting up and reading that poem, and he had such a booming voice, you could not help but realize who he was, you know, out there in the sand, in the sand dunes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good things to keep in mind that this... You know, this is terrible situations we're in right now. This shall pass.
This is, you can't help but think about what people are thinking about in terms of Lent. You know, what kind of personal going through the undoing of one's life and putting oneself at the call of whatever may be evil and awful, just the terrible things. So we must pray.
Yeah.
That was our Holy Father has urged us to pray. You know, I saw that message a few days ago, the Holy Father urging us to pray, and realize, of course, he's going to urge us to pray. What else is he going to ask us to do? But then you realize he's the Pope. He's the Vicar of Christ. He's encouraging us to pray. He's calling us to do something that is extremely important, to pray to God for an opening of our minds and our hearts to the wonder of God's love and mercy, and how that love and mercy works even in a place, as far flung and destitute in terms of life as we're going through just these terrible things around the world. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that for thousands of years, Old Testament, New Testament, over and over, the same message keeps coming out. You'll get along a lot better in the world will be better if you beat your swords into plowshares.
Yes.
You know, and it's
one of the great messages of the scriptures.
Yeah, we keep trying, and all the time there's somebody who doesn't think it's a good idea for so many personal and petty reasons. This is what really gets you. Sometimes people just get into stuff and they just can't get out of that mode. Can you imagine if some of these, you pick the despot, I don't care which one it is in history, if they had changed their mind and said, I'm wrong, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to make amends, they would be praised for the rest of history.
Yeah.
Instead, they're buried in an unmarked grave someplace.
Or in the middle of a sandstorm.
Yeah, in the middle of a sandstorm. Exactly right. But yeah, it's a lot going on. Now, this particular Sunday, what kind of readings will we be hearing about? What kind of stories are we going to be hearing about?
This is the third Sunday. So,
We are in the bishop's office and phones ring.
There we go.
This is what your whole day is like.
Yeah, normally I have Debbie who is answering these phones. But when I'm at home in the study, my phone rings and it only rings here. This phone only rings in this office and in the office at the diocesan center.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see that, but then I see, that it's Father Dine, I will have to call him back because we're trying to figure out how we're going to handle this trip to St. Louis.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's important stuff. Yeah, it's just there's so many things going on.
Yes.
And also, not too long ago, I interviewed a priest. And of course, we didn't talk about this on the air. I had tried to reach him a few weeks earlier to do a show, and his mother had passed away.
Oh.
And so I had to say to him, there's nothing I can say that can stop the pain.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
There isn't.
And and those of us who've lost moms either years ago or recently, it's still there. And so the fact that these are people who are high up in the church and well versed in theology doesn't matter. It's their mom.
Oh gosh, yes. There is no difficulty that is really harder to take than when you lose your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really tough. So, yes, just going through all of the stuff. And then, of course, when she's someone, and then under these circumstances, if you knew Shirley Dolan, she was just a magnificent woman. And so we think about and pray for her and remember her fondly and beautifully, because she's just such a lovely, lovely lady. And we see her in the high court of heaven if God wants. And I think he does. So we'll just allow her to go forth into the happiness of God's glory and goodness.
Good, yeah.
So at any rate, we've got, you were asking about the third Sunday of Lent.
Right.
And this year, normally we go through, and this would be the woman at the well. But it's not because we're in the sea readings. So we have the burning bush. That is just wonderful. So we've got the parable of the fig tree. It is an opportunity for us. See, these readings, when they turn during the Lenten season, because we always usually get the third Sunday of Lent is always the parable of the woman at the well. And this is a, you know, but since we're listening to all of the scripture, and so they change now during the weeks of Lent. So this one we get is, again, the parable of the fig tree, and the Lord is speaking and calling us to change of heart and those sorts of things, and how God's mercy works in the life of each individual. So just like the fig tree, if you don't produce fruit, the Lord is going to call you to some sort of awareness of the fact that you should be doing something that is according to God's will and God's grace. So let's see what happens with all of us, you know, that we're producing fruit that is worthy of what the Lord has given to us.
And without trying to sound too facetious about it, every once in a while some article comes out in a national paper, which I read online, and they always, you know, they mention that people attending church is dropping, you know, and of course, there's always these people going, you know, well, that's a good thing, well, my church is blah, blah, blah. I always get the impression, kind of like the fig tree, that these people who have just totally given up on any kind of inner life, they're kind of dried up.
Absolutely. Withered and don't produce any fruit at all, and it's just, it gets us to the point where, oh my, you realize that there is something about God's grace, and there's something about our response to it that should be bringing forth something in our lives that is loving, that is lovely, that is beautiful, that is recognizable as the fact that we are children of God. And, you know, it just doesn't happen sometimes in many of our lives.
I just read a little back and forth today, again, in some anonymous column for a paper, where this person, again, responding to this thing about religion, was going, how conceited it can be that you claim to believe in something that you can't prove. And then someone else wrote back saying, how conceited can you be to assume that you know everything that's going on in the entire universe and life?
You know, you are.
Yeah, and somebody was saying, yeah, you know, a little dose of humility regarding your attitude one way or the other goes a really long way.
Oh, long way. Yes, yes, yes. Just a little bit of understanding of the fact that you are not the center of the world.
Yeah.
And that is so important. I've talked with so many different people in spiritual direction and different sorts of things, and helped them to understand that it's not all about you. That's so important for people to recognize. It's not all about you. And that's a very important thing for us to consider.
Well, when people, including yourself and the parish priest or the deacon or the religious, people who have really devoted their lives to God's word and to bringing the word of God to others and to themselves.
Yes.
When you meet people from different faiths, you all kind of get along. I mean, we had you there with a Lutheran pastor, a rabbi a few years ago. You guys were yucking it up. I mean, you all are working together. And even now with all of the problems with homelessness going on and drug addiction and all these things happening, working with Catholic Charities and the Salvation Army and other groups, everybody gets along. They don't squabble about, you know, this, that, or the other. Now, they may have theological discourse back and forth, but they don't sit there going, well, I'm not going to work with you because you don't believe in this. You know, it doesn't go that way.
No, and that's so true, and it's so beautiful. And, you know, when you bring up the fact that we were together, that we three, you know, the Lutheran, the Jewish rabbi, and the Catholic priest, you know, so interesting that you would, that you know, you call that back. And that's such a memory. That is a good memory, and it's one that we, I think all three of us, celebrate and reverence in our lives. It's a good thing to think about.
Someday when we can get physically back together again, we should do that again. There's a new rabbi in town, I'm told. I hear he's from New Jersey, by the way. But anyway, and of course we have a new bishop, a new Lutheran bishop. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's fun to get together. It's just fun
to get. The poor Catholics have the same old, same old.
Same old bishop, yeah. Same poor guy. He's just been here for...
Oh, gosh.
But, I can, you know, you talk about how your plate is overflowing. And over the years, you have continued and added on so many wonderful things and listened to other people in the diocese who had ideas that this diocese does all this dynamic stuff. But it's a load.
We do a lot.
Yeah.
And you look forward to seeing so many of the beautiful things that are going on. You know, Catholic Charities, you hear so many different sorts of things. You know, you take a look at what the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration are doing. The FSPA, they are just, they're really vibrant and beautiful women who do carry on so much of the work that is necessary in our diocese. What a blessing they are. And of course, all of the other aspects of things that go on in terms of all of the other people who are out there doing God's work. And they don't necessarily, as you pointed out, they don't necessarily have to be Catholic, but they have to be about who they are. And I mean, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Protestant, whether you're, you know, evangelical, whatever it may be, if you are there doing God's work, there's the fig tree that is ripe and beautiful and fulfilling God's plan. But I'll tell you, it's just so much.
I think it was down in Texas, although don't quote me on that, where some nut decided he would set fire to the big wooden door in the front of a Jewish temple. And within a matter of a couple of days, a Muslim imam, kind of like a bishop, showed up at the temple with a check for $10,000 saying, "Here, we want to help you rebuild this because we know what it's like to be persecuted as well." And, can you just see this rabbi going, "Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you."
Isn't that amazing?
But this is what we all do. If something happened to the cathedral, God forbid, people from all other groups and faiths would help, you know, repair and fix and make sure things are made right. The same thing with any other religious organization in the area. All you folks work together.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, yes. And it's something that we need to keep aware of. But when you see all of the craziness going on in many parts of the world right now, that given a chance, people will work together.
Yes.
People will simply work together. There was a story recently about in Ukraine where a Ukrainian family who were, I'm sure, were probably Orthodox, Christian Orthodox, hid a young Jewish girl towards the end of World War II so she wouldn't get taken off to the camps. And she finally got, I think it was, to Israel. And of course, she grew up and she got married and was now a grandmother. And I think she passed away a few years ago. But her granddaughter, with all the troubles going on in Ukraine, managed to find the relatives, the daughters of the family that saved her grandmother, and got them out of Ukraine and brought them to Israel. And so we got a Jewish person being helped by a Christian Orthodox, and you've got these people who were Orthodox Christians being helped by a Jewish person 75 years later. Yeah.
These are the stories, yes. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful stories?
Yeah.
And they're truth.
Yeah. And there's people all over the diocese and all over the country who are contributing money to relief for these poor refugees who are leaving. And these are people who don't know them. They are not necessarily of their particular faith, but it doesn't matter.
That was the beautiful part of the work that we did at the Basilica of St. Josephat in Milwaukee. There was over $8 million worth of restoration and renewal and remodeling and all that sort of thing. But it was done, so much of it, of course, done by the Catholic community there. You know, but it was also done by numbers of Jews who came in who were touched by the various Jewish symbols in the Basilica. There were numbers of others who came in who were touched by the various other representations of the images of Jesus and the ways in which they were brought to faith themselves. You know, we had people come in and we got donations from all sorts of people. And artists, historians, you know, Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Gentiles, everybody was involved in this whole process. But it was a beautiful thing because it just made everybody happy to see it when it was all lit up and ready to go. And, you know, we had done so much. And it's like our cathedral, too, downtown here in La Crosse. The cathedral, yesterday I celebrated the Mass there for the anniversary of the moving forward of the cause of our friend Father Joe Walieski. We're hoping and praying for the day when we're going to be able to say Saint Joseph Walieski. You know, but nevertheless, I looked at the cathedral yesterday and the magnificence of the cathedral, the lighting, the sense of the beauty of the whole place. And I realize, of course, that so much has been given over to the fact that people are coming, people are there, new people are coming. We've had so many young families join up at the cathedral. I'm amazed. Just look at these folks, look at these young people, and the young families that are coming in with their little kids and everything out there. It's just wonderful. So, you know, you got to realize that somewhere out there, people are looking and saying, oh, well, you Catholics this, and, you know, you Catholics that, or you Jews this, and you Jews that. I mean, they want to make an issue out of the fact that we're not all miserable. And, you know, that's a big deal. You know, we're not all miserable. And we're not all withered up old vines on a fig tree. We are filled with prosperity. We are filled with beauty. We are filled with wonder. We are filled with life. So many various ways in which God brings about great things in our lives. And we're blessed. We are so blessed.
You see it also in the rural communities when, you know, let's say a small church has either had a fire or they've got to do some extensive reconstruction after, you know, a storm kind of thing. And there'll be some other parish of a completely different faith that will say, you can use our sanctuary until you're ready to use yours again.
Yes.
These simple things that we see all the time, people basically relish and also bloom when goodness is around them. And we can see it all the time. It's kind of like spring, basically. Bishop, I want to take a quick break. And when we get back, I'd like to get some final comments from you and a prayer and a blessing. Is that okay?
Thank you so much. Yes.
We'll be right back. We live in a rural area where there are no gas lines to power the furnace, and so we have heating oil, and of course we have electricity for the stoves, for things like that, and you're supposed to check your oil periodically. And so, of course, I had it filled up much earlier in the winter and sat back fat, dumb, and happy and nice and warm, and then my wife looked over at the thermostat and saw that it had dropped quite a few degrees because the furnace wasn't on, because I hadn't checked the oil and we were out. So I called up the local oil company and they said chances are they wouldn't get out until tomorrow because it was already much later in the afternoon. So as the temperature began dropping, we got out a couple of our electric heaters that we had stowed away, and it was okay, it wasn't great. But for us, this was a minor inconvenience. We might be a little bit chillier for one night, and we could put on some extra clothes, extra blankets, and things would be okay. There are people who very soon, coming up around April 15th, because they have not been able to pay their power bills and because there's a moratorium on cutoffs, are suddenly going to find out that the power is cut off, and it won't just be an inconvenience. It will be a major, major problem, not only for heat, but for water, and also for cooking and all the other things. If someone you know is heading in that direction, please urge them to contact Catholic Charities in your local area. For the Diocese of La Crosse, of course, we know where that is. Have them contact them right away to help work out a payment plan and to contact the power company. The worst thing you can do is just not talk to the power company. And when they know Catholic Charities is involved, generally speaking, the power stays on. There's more information online at ccclse.org, as in Catholic Charities, lacrosse.org, ccclse.org. Help is out there, non-judgmental. Help is out there. Catholic Charities of the Diocese of La Crosse, they're there to help you. So please, do it now. Thanks. Bishop, thank you so much for taking time during this busy time, and I'm very sorry, of course, that there was this monumental passing of this mom, and that I hope that you do get the car rental or whatever it is that you're going to get to get there. But
you know, God has a way, and realizing that who Mrs. Dolan is, she is the preeminent mom. And whenever moms are involved in actions, I was telling this to my assistant, Debbie, this morning. You know, whenever moms are involved in things, things happen. Things get done. Moms know what to do. Moms know how to make it better. I miss my mother so much, so very, very much. not just because she knew how to cook or any of those sorts of things, but just to be able to sit with her and talk with her. And I'm amazed at how many things she knew. You know, she had the ability to kind of get it through. So, but that's the thing. So, yes. So I pray for Mrs. Dolan, but I also pray for all the other moms. We miss our mothers so much after they're dead. And we need to make sure that our mothers know that we love them while they're alive and while they're with us. You know, so give your mom a big hug and a kiss. It's not Mother's Day. It's not time yet to do all that lovey-dovey. But be lovey-dovey. Give your mom a hug and a kiss.
Good
do
idea.
Something wonderful.
Good idea. Yeah. Can you leave us with a prayer and a blessing?
By all means. By all means. Almighty and eternal God, yours is the life that you have given us to share. Yours is the life that you have created for us to share abundantly so that we may grow in wisdom, your love, your tenderness. Help us to remember that you love us. Help us to share that love with others. Help us to be signs of your wisdom, of your goodness. Help us to be patient with ourselves, and help us to be patient with one another. In all ways, lead us to goodness and fullness of life. We ask this in the name and the power of Jesus, who is your Son and Mary's, forever and ever. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. We will talk to you again soon. You have a very, very safe trip, okay?
God be with you. Thanks very much, Jack. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Again, that was Bishop William P. Callahan, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse. My name is Jack Socha, your host for this show from the Diocese of La Crosse, Connecting the Diocese. Was just checking the news. This is a Friday afternoon. We're getting ready to wrap things up here and deliver this to the networks. And I noticed that a rather successful businessman in Chicago, Dr. Willie Wilson, donated $200,000 of free gasoline to people in his area. He simply said that the soaring price of gas was just causing too much hardship for our citizens. There are just some great people out there doing kind things. We've been talking a bit about that basically all this hour. Also, we had a little bit of a poetry corner reference going on there. I mentioned the poem Ozymandias. Now, a number of you have remembered the poem from years ago from high school or college or whatever. Bishop remembered it as well. But for those of you who have not heard the poem, I'm going to read it for you. And, I'm going to basically dedicate this poem and hope for careful listening to Vladimir Putin. I want him to listen very carefully to this poem because this is the direction he is also heading. So listen carefully. And Vlad, buddy, ha ha ha, this poem is for you. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear: My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of the colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away." Ozymandias by Percy Shelley. I don't know if it has been translated into Russian, but it should be. It was pretty obvious in our conversation with Bishop Callahan. He is both dismayed and distraught with what is going on overseas these days, and like so many of us, feeling somewhat helpless as to what we can do besides donating funds for relief and things like that. I have been watching the news, being somewhat of a news junkie. I frankly have to turn part of it off because it can be so depressing to the point where it actually, you know, is disturbing my sleep knowing all these things are going on. One of the things that was on this past week or two was the fact that as some of the older people and women and children are getting out of Ukraine, the men are largely staying behind to fight. And some of them are not trained soldiers. I mean, some of them are teachers and lawyers and business people, you name it. And many of them have not touched a weapon, let alone know how to use it. They're being briefly trained. And there was one video that was showing very briefly on one of the networks where this husband was packing off his wife and kids, I believe on a train, one of the last trains they got out. Maybe it was a bus. I'm not really sure. But it was almost something cinematic where as the vehicle was transporting them out of Kiev, out of danger to safety, he was running behind the bus yelling, "I love you. I love you." Making sure they heard it. "I love you." To me, this was absolutely heartrending. Some of these people, because they are not trained in military tactics and are really facing great, great danger and very possible death, not to mention the shelling and bombing that is going on all over that beleaguered country. I couldn't help but remember, I'm half Scottish, believe it or not. My grandfather, who lived with me until he passed away when I was in high school, was named John Farquhar. He immigrated from Scotland in the late 1800s. He was a big fan of Robert Burns, Sir Robert Burns, who might be called the poet laureate of Scotland. And Robert Burns was quite the romantic, quite the ladies' man, by the way. And you can tell from some of the things he wrote how he got to people. Well, he did a poem called A Fond Kiss, and it is, from what I can tell, about a story about a young man who is leaving his beloved to go off to war, and there is a fairly good chance he will not be seeing her again. So I'm going to read to you this. Again, this is Robert Burns, and it's called A Fond Kiss. Now, I'm not going to use the Scottish accent because it would become unintelligible. But anyway, here's the poem that came to mind after all these years watching that husband running after his wife and children who were leaving, yelling, "I love you, I love you." A fond kiss, and then we sever. A farewell, alas, forever. Deep in heart-wrung tears I'll pledge thee. Warring sighs and groans I'll wage thee. Who shall say that fortune grieves him while the star of hope she leaves him? Me no cheerful twinkle lights me. Dark despair around benights me. I'll ne'er blame my partial fancy. Nothing can resist my Nancy. For to see her was to love her. Love but her, and love forever. Had we never loved so kindly, had we never loved so blindly, nor never met, nor never parted, we would never have been so broken-hearted. Fare thee well, my first and fairest. Fare thee well, my best and dearest. Thine be like joy and treasure, peace, enjoyment, love, and pleasure. A fond kiss, and then we sever. A farewell, alas, forever. Deep in heart-wrung tears I'll pledge thee. Warring sighs and groans I'll wage thee. Robert Burns, A Fond Kiss. Yeah, he is a true Scotsman, somewhat on the dour side and somewhat very realistic at the same time. The flip side to all this, and this is, again, something that is so hard to take. We're hearing all of these generalizations demonizing every Russian citizen in the entire country for what is going on in Ukraine. Jesus has taught us we must love our enemies. And I realize this is very difficult to do because there's so much horrendous stuff going on by a relative few. It's very important to point out that a fair number of these troops that are in Ukraine are conscripts. They're drafted. They're not very well trained. They're young men who were working their way through whatever job they were doing or school or whatever, and next thing you know, they were drafted. Now, we had a draft in this country as well. The difference is that in this country, if one was seriously conscientious objector, it was possible to get out of duty that might put you in harm's way, or at least where you would be killing other people. There's a fantastic movie, if you can stomach the violence, called Hacksaw Ridge. It's about the only conscientious objector to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. Clint Eastwood directed it, and it's a very powerful film, although there's a lot of violence in it. But anyway, these conscripts in Russia don't have the luxury of saying, no, I really can't get involved in the killing. They have to go. And many of them are leaving or are captured. Some of them are deserting. And again, the ones who are captured or deserting are saying, we can't go back. We cannot go back to Russia now. I mean, we will disappear. Simple as that. So we have to remember the words of Jesus talking about loving our enemy and at least trying to understand that not every single one out there is an evil person. We have a Vladimir Putin we can aim a lot of venom at. And I suppose Jesus would say even he could be redeemed with enough time. So we'll just have to leave it at that. My name is Jack Socha. This is Connecting the Diocese, kind of a mixed bag today with a short segment with the bishop and other things going on. I hope you've enjoyed the show. You can always reach us by writing to connecting@diolc.org. Connecting@diolc.org. I will catch you again next week. I'm going to leave you with a musical version of A Fond Kiss, somewhat truncated down from the longest version, but enough to give you a flavor of what it sounds like. A little bit of Scottish soul. Edie Reader, that's E-D-D-I, Reader, is the artist who is singing this. Lots of things to contemplate, lots of things to pray about, lots of things to research in the Bible to try to work through as we work our way through Lent. I'm very happy to have you on board during these extremely special weeks. So, we'll catch you again next week, right here. Thanks for listening to Connecting the Diocese. Thank you.
grows, I'll